I don't know about you, but I believe him. I'm glad it's not a fairy tale to me. It's real. Dear friend of mine, Brother Daniel Waters, wrote a song back some time ago. The title of that song is Thank God It's Real. Thank God It's Real. He tells a story about an old preacher who came testifying down the aisle. He said the old man could barely walk. He said as he feebly made his way down the aisle, the old man just shouted, "It's real. It's real." John chapter number 15 this morning. I apologize, I'm a little bit full. I feel like David when he said his cup was running over. I got a feeling when he said that it was coming out his eyes. Amen. John chapter 15, when you look at some of the most precious scripture in all the Bible this morning. John chapter 15, look at verse number 13. The Bible said, greater love. Hath no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. About three times there in John chapter number 15, the Lord uses that word, friend. Sometimes I'm afraid that's a word we use very loosely. You call people friend on your social media that you've never met. Is that right? Somebody, is that what it is when they like you on your Facebook? They friend you, is that what it is? And truth be known, you wouldn't know them if you met them in the street. Some of them, the picture they have on the profile is not even real. Amen? It's somebody else. They take a picture of somebody good looking and fool you into thinking they're somebody they're not. But I don't think Jesus used that term friend very lightly when he said it. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to preach on the best friend a sinner ever had. The best friend that a sinner ever had. Webster defines the word friend as a favored companion. A favored companion. It's one thing to say my wife is my companion. Last night my wife was keeping grandbabies and I had to come to the Valentine's banquet, stag. That's a term I hadn't heard in a long time. That means by myself, so Brother Stacy decided to be my date. Ugliest date I've ever had, amen. But I look around this room this morning and I have some favored companions here today. There are people in this room I've known literally all my life. All my life. The first person I ever met when I got here was my mother, and she's sitting here this morning. There's people who have known me since I was a kid. There are men in this room. We played together as boys, and you know, I count it an honor to call you guys my friends. I really do. And I mean that in the truest sense of the word, a favored companion. A favored companion is somebody that you don't mind spending time with. Amen? And you know, there's some people, you might call them your friend, but you can only handle so much of them. Somebody help me right there. You know that guy you see at Walmart and you turn your buggy and go the other way and hope he didn't see you? Boy, it got quiet on me right there. I've seen some of y'all dodge me. Amen. I went to Walmart last night when I left here to get dog food, and there was a fella standing in the dog food aisle, and he looked up at me like that and looked right away. Like I didn't see him. I said, how's it going? Oh, Brother Eddie, I didn't see you. I thought, hey, you're lying. You look me right in the eyeball. Amen. But there's some people that's not really a favored companion. You know, you can tolerate them for a few minutes. But then there's those people that you just love to be around. There's those people that just make you feel better just by being around them, being near them. They make you laugh. They make you forget about your troubles. And they make you forget about your worry. Hey, I'm talking about Jesus this morning. Man, he's somebody I just love to be around. Amen? I get around Jesus, I forget about my troubles. Cora started singing about that storm a while ago, and I thought about the master of the sea and the master of the wind and all that. Boy, when trouble blows and trouble comes in our life, when Jesus comes on the scene, he makes big old problems seem really, really small. Amen? Thank God we have a friend in Jesus. Now listen, it's one thing for me to say Jesus is my friend. But for me to call Jesus my friend, I want you to think about this with me just for a minute this morning. For me to say Jesus is my friend, that kind of pulls him down to my level. But I'm glad Jesus said I'm his friend. That pulls me up to where he is. Does that make sense? When Jesus said, ye are my friends, what he said is, I'm bringing you way up here where I'm at. A bunch of lowly sinners who deserve hell by the half acre, who nothing is good about us. There's none good, no, not one, just sinners. That's all we are. There's not a person living that could honestly tell you, I have never sinned. I had a guy tell me that one time. And he believed that with all his heart. He said, man, I don't sin. I thought, you just did.
That's right.
You just told the biggest lie possibly I've ever heard if you say you have no sin. Amen. We are all sinners, but yet a sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, looked at us and said, hey, I want a friend, and who I'm going to choose for a friend is the sorriest of the lot, you. You said, preacher, you shouldn't call people sorry. I know I shouldn't, but I just did. Because we are. We are the very best of us. I mean, if there's anything good about us, it's the Lord Jesus. Amen. And he called us his friend. I couldn't get past that when I ran across the scripture this week. I've quoted that verse forever. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And we're going to look at that verse just in a second. But I got to thinking about when Jesus called me his friend. He was pulling me up to where he is. My unholiness was raised to his holiness. My unrighteousness was raised to his righteousness. Are you getting the picture this morning? Jesus called you his friend. And you know you. Does it ever get a little bit overwhelming to you that Jesus loves you?
Amen.
Caroline, our little granddaughter, she was in the living room the other day at home, and my daughter took a picture of her. She was singing her favorite song. She was singing, Papa Loves Me. Yes, Papa loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. That's what she was singing. I've tried to get her to sing it to me all weekend. She won't do it. But she was singing, Papa Loves Me. But you know, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And when I think about this that this morning, that thing, it just overwhelms me a little bit, because I know what I am and I know who I am. You know what you are. I don't need to point out your fault. You know where you messed up. Amen. And every one of us are. We're all messed up. We're all flawed. We're all faulty, every single one of us. But yet Jesus chose to call us his friend and to bring us up to where he is. Several times in the Bible, God uses this term in referring to people as a friend. In the Old Testament, y'all pray for my throat, God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. Abraham is called the friend of God. Abraham's seed are called God's friends, or the friends of God. Jesus was called this when the publicans and Pharisees, when they looked at him, you know what they called him? They said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. They said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Hey, has a sinner got an advocate this morning? I believe he does. And his name's Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, ye are my friend. Thank God for a friend like Jesus. Thank you, brother. I'm good. If I put one in my mouth, I'll spit seven rows back. And this crowd right in here is going, please don't. Amen. Thank God Jesus looked to us and said, ye are my friends. Friendship is a word easily used. I could easily say, Brother Robbie's my friend. Brother Robbie could say, Brother Eddie's my friend. But friendship is not just something that is stated. Friendship is something that is proven.
That's right. Good.
A friend is somebody who supplies your need. A friend is somebody who shows up when nobody else will. Amen. Thank God we have some real friends in this room, and we've suffered together, and we've wept together, and we've spent times in hospitals together, in waiting rooms, and we've spent time in funeral homes together. We've cried on one another's shoulders, and we've rejoiced together. Brother Ray and I had a rejoicing time this morning. He has his 69 Z28 out here in the parking lot. And boy, I'm telling you, he cranked that thing for me a while ago. It was spiritual, I'm here to tell you. And we spent time weeping together and suffering together and crying over loss. He fired that car up this morning. We just shouted together out there in the parking lot. Amen. Hey, ain't that a blessing? We get to bear one another's burdens, but then we get to share one another's joy. That's what a friend does. A friend's somebody who's there no matter what. Amen. Thank God. Somebody ought to thank God you got a friend. Amen. And I'm glad I ain't got to have a computer to have a friend. Amen. I'm glad I don't need Facebook to have a friend. If you got Facebook, that's fine and good with me as long as you behave yourself on it. But I'm glad my friends don't consist of a social media, a network, a www. I got one, buddy. I'm good. Thank you. Man, people bringing me all kinds of stuff. I'm going to keep coughing. I'll get that Camaro in a minute. Amen. Just pull her right in here, Brother Ray. It'll make me feel so much better. Amen. I lost my whole train of thought, man. Thank God for friends. If I really needed help, you know what my biggest dilemma would be? Trying to decide who to call. That would be my biggest dilemma. I'd get that phone over there and start going through them, what do you call them, contacts. I'd start going through them contacts and I'd try to figure out who to call. I guess I'd narrow it down by who's closest. Is anybody in the building with me? I'd probably narrow it down by who could get to me the quickest. And if I really needed some help, maybe there's one who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. There's one who said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thank God I'm glad when I need Jesus. I don't need a phone. I don't need a Facebook. I don't need a fax machine. All I got to do is whisper his name and he's right there. He's ever present. Thank God there has never been a friend like Jesus. We stand and sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I'm glad in glory Jesus is singing, what a friend I have in a bunch of old sinners like you. Friendship is not just stated. It's not just something I don't know how you friend somebody on Facebook. Click a box, check a box. Anybody? I don't know how you do it. Check a box, I like you, I don't like you. Amen. I would like to have one just so I could don't like people. Amen. I told y'all I was going to start my own YouTube and my own Twitter and my own Facebook. I'm going to call it You Twit Face. Amen. That'll work, won't it? I'm glad our friendships are a little deeper than that. And I'm glad when it comes to Jesus, it goes deeper than any friendship has ever gone. Again, let me say, friendship is not just stated. Friendship is proven. Friendship stands the test of time. Friendship loves in spite of fault. Say it again. Friendship loves in spite of fault. He calls me his friend But yet he knows every single thing about me, Brother Freddie. He knows things about me I don't know about myself. He sees every failure. He sees every unholy deed. He knows my every thought and in the very intentions, he said, of my heart. But yet he looks at me and says, friend. That ought to make somebody want to shout that he loves you anyway. Sister Elizabeth and them and Ashley sing that song about the lady at the well that said he knew me, but yet he loved me anyway. He knew exactly what I was. He knew where I'd been. He knew what I'd done, but he loved me anyway. Now, it'd be one thing for Jesus to have right here in the book of John that he called you his friend, but he went beyond stating it. He went beyond clicking your little box on your Facebook. He went a little further than that. He proved his friendship for us. His friendship for us is proven in his sacrifice. But yet his sacrifice for us goes by many unnoticed, unaccepted, and unreceived. What good is a favor unless you accept the favor? Brother Stacy Bullock is my friend. He was my date last night. We broke up this morning. he was my date last night. He called me a while back. He said, I ain't got no room at my house. He said, I got too many trailers and I got too much stuff. He said, I need somewhere to leave my tractor. I said, I happen to have a spot. Is it going to come with a key? He said, of course it is. That's a friend. Just bring his tractor and leave it, Brother Ray. Take notes out there. Amen. Babysit when you're on vacation. Amen. A friend is somebody who proves their friendship. And they're not just your friend because they do stuff for you. But they do stuff for you because they're your friend. Does that make sense? They do stuff for you because they're your friend and because they love you. Friendship does stuff that you just normally wouldn't do for people you don't know. That crowd who friends you on Facebook, they wouldn't help you. I mean, some of them, your family might, amen? But most of them, they ain't going to be there when you need them. They're not going to be there when you're at the funeral home. They're not going to show up with a banana pudding. They ain't going to show up with a pan of cornbread and a pot of chili. No, they don't even know you. But friends are somebody who goes out of their way to do something for you that nobody else would do. Jesus proved his friendship for us in his sacrifice. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this. What was so great about his love? That he laid down his life for his friend. That he laid down his life for his friends. Did you know that he was your friend before you were his friend? Amen. Jesus was your friend before you were his friend. He loved you first. We love him, the Bible said, because he first loved us. Jesus was your friend when you didn't even know his name. Jesus was your friend when you didn't care whether he lived or died. Jesus was your friend when you were taking his own name in vain. Amen. He was your friend. While you were cursing him. How many of you are with me this morning? Every word out of my mouth as a teenager, every other word was probably God's name in vain. I took God's name in vain just about every single breath. But yet he loved me anyway. I was raised in church all my life. Most of the wrong I did in his house. Thank you, Mother. Most of the wrong I did at church. Got in fights. I mean, I won't even go into all of it. I'm ashamed to tell you stuff I did in church growing up. But yet, while I sat there taking his name in vain, doing stuff I shouldn't be doing, especially in his house, he was saying, that's my friend right there. He don't know it yet, but that's my friend.
Amen.
He ain't got a clue what he's doing when he's taking my name in vain. He hadn't yet realized what I've done for him, the sacrifice that I've made. But one day he will. One day, maybe when he's around 19 years old, he'll get a hold of this thing that there's never been another friend like me. Nobody else has ever loved him like I do. And I'm glad when I was 19, I did get hold of that fact. Amen. And I became a friend to my friend. Amen. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. His sacrifice was voluntary. His sacrifice was voluntary. I saw people doing acts of kindness the other day. Not this snowstorm, but the one before. How long has it been since we've had two snowstorms? Isn't that wild? But the first one, when it was so bad and everybody was stuck on the road, I saw people just actually stopping and helping people. Brother Johnny wrecked his truck trying to help somebody. He pulled over to help a poor lady and run over her car. He really helped her, boy. Twice. He did it twice. He's always been that way. It takes him two or three times to get it finally. Amen. But people were just stopping on the side of the road and pulling out tow straps and just helping people. I thought, boy, how about that? How about that? People actually just caring for other human beings. Hey, listen, Jesus' sacrifice was voluntary. Now, I helped a lady out of the road because she is blocking my way. Amen. If I wanted to go further than I was, I had to get her out of the way. Amen. But Jesus' sacrifice was voluntary. He laid down his life for his friend. You need to get that part laid down. He laid down his life for his friend. Nobody took it. He gave it. Nobody crucified Jesus. He gave his life. Nobody killed him. You got to understand that. He laid down his life for his friends. By the way, he said, if I lay it down, I'll take it back up. He said, tear this temple down 3 days, I will rebuild it. And thank God he did. That's why I'm not serving a dead God. I'm not worshiping Buddha in a tomb somewhere. I'm not worshiping a dead Muhammad. But I'm glad I've got a Jesus sitting on a throne this morning who is alive and well. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. Nobody ever voluntarily suffered for you like Jesus did. I remember one time when I was little, my sister took the worst whippings. I don't mean she got bad whippings. She you could hear her screaming a mile away. And Mama ain't even got the hickory off the tree. I'm serious, heart attack. My grandmother lived across the pasture on top of the hill, and when Pam was going to get a whipping, the phone would ring automatically, and Granny would want to know, what's the matter with that baby? What happened to that baby? She thought she got her leg cut off or something. She had screamed bloody murder. Now, I remember one time Pam got caught stealing a cigarette, and Mama carried her in the bedroom, and every time she lied, she'd whoop her more. It was child abuse. It really was. If we'd had defects back in, she'd have been in big trouble, boy. But I remember sitting in the living room listening to my little sister scream. I didn't take the cigarette. But I walked down the hallway and I said, Mama, it was me. She didn't do it, I did. Because my love for my baby sister. I knew she took it. I watched her do it. But to see her suffering stop, I was willing to take her punishment. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for me and you. So that our suffering could stop. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Calvary, is that all it takes? I'll do it. Lord, Father, if it be your will, let this cup, I pray thee let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, you know what he's saying? I'll do it. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. His sacrifice was voluntary. He laid down his life for you. And I know this is so elementary to some of y'all, but if you get past your self-righteous self and just get a hold of the fact that he loved you so much that he suffered and bled and died for you, amen. Some of you have forgotten how lost you were. You've been saved so long you think you were born that way, but you weren't. You was a sinner on your way to hell when Jesus saved your soul. And every now and then it'd do us good on a Sunday morning just to loosen our tie and lose our dignity a little bit and clap our hands together and say, thank God I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm on my way to heaven, all because of what Jesus did for me. He did what I couldn't do for myself. His death or his sacrifice was voluntary. It was vicarious. That word vicarious, I heard that word all my life and thought I knew for sure what it meant, but I looked that word up. It means to performed or suffered by one as a substitute for another. I like that. My son Levi wrote that song about Abraham and Isaac. Isaac laying on that altar and his eyes are closed tight, and all of a sudden he says, Daddy, what do you see? He said, Son, I see a lamb. I see a lamb. We came up this mountain to sacrifice you, but somebody has stepped up to take your place. And I'm glad that's what his vicarious death did. It was a substitute for mine. His death was a substitute for my death. His death was a substitute, not just for my death, but my punishment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. He took care of it. I've done gotten my judgment. Hallelujah. I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm no longer condemned to hell. I have been redeemed. Why? Because he is my friend. And my friend did for me what nobody else could do. Brother Ray could let me drive his car. He could. He wouldn't even let me hold the key this morning. Brother Stacy could let me borrow his tractor. Brother Johnny could take me to kill a big deer. Wasn't them good friends? Praise the Lord. But there was a need I had one day that Brother Ray and his Camaro couldn't meet. As sweet as it is, that Camaro couldn't help me. That tractor couldn't bush hog me out of it. That big deer couldn't get me out of it. Thank God for the friends I have and the things they've done to show their love for me. But my greatest need was my need of salvation. And there was only one who could meet that need. And his name was Jesus. The greatest friend I ever had. The greatest friend I've ever known. And I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not really. I hate to apologize, but man, I'm just so full this morning. I can't get over the fact that he called me his friend. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. His sacrifice was voluntary. It was vicarious. Let me give you this. I probably won't even preach this whole message. It was vicious. It was vicious. I believe Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. I don't think, and I know there's a lot of controversy. Some people said you're wicked if you go see it and all that. I went and saw it, so I'm wicked. Count me in. I only have one criticism. They could have done it in English where you understood it. But I don't think it was a drop in the bucket. I don't think Hollywood could portray what Jesus did. It was the most vicious death anybody ever died. And he did it for us. He did it for us. Now, I call you friend all day long. And I've named friends in this room this morning, and I could keep on and on and on and on. But there ain't none of you I don't think I'd die for. I don't believe I would. Brother Freddie's my friend. No matter what I need, when, where, it doesn't matter. I know I can call him. And he can do the same for me. But if it comes down to the two of us hanging on a tree out here, with our guts ripped out our side and the crown of thorns beat down on our head, I volunteer him. I'll preach his funeral with remorse and tears. Are you listening to me? There might be one young man in this room I'd die for. It'd be my son.
Right. Amen.
Jesus did something not only that nobody else could do, He did something that nobody else would do. Say that again. He did something not only that nobody else could do, but he did something nobody else would do. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. His friendship is seen not only in his sacrifice, but in his sharing. You know what he shared with us? His love. We sang that song this morning, My Savior's Love. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How wonderful is it? Well, he said, greater love hath no man. It's the ultimate love. It's the ultimate love. Wouldn't it be sad for somebody to love you that much and you reject their love? Wouldn't it be bad? There's some of you sitting here this morning. You've been here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. In probably just a few short weeks, you've probably heard 1,000 times how much he loves you. You've heard this choir sing it. You've heard the specials as they sung. You've heard this preacher say it over and over and over and over again. How much Jesus loves you and cares for you, but yet you still hadn't received him as your Savior. Somebody said, well, I don't know what to do to be saved. Take it. It's just that simple. Take it. Salvation is the gift of God, the Bible says. It's free. It's been bought. It's been paid for. All you have to do is receive it. Accept it. That's our biggest problem sometimes as sinners is acceptance. It's hard for us to conceive or even fathom the fact that somebody would really love us and care for us that much when really all we've got to do is say, okay, I accept it. I believe it. Amen. It's that simple. His friendship is shown not only in his sacrifice, but his sharing. He shared his love with us. But not only that, he shares his life with us. Jesus didn't just die for you. He lives for you. Amen. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. You know what he is? He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. The Bible said the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He goes before God and he says, God, look at old James down there. Look how sorry that rascal is. Don't say amen, Stella. Look how sorry that rascal is. He's worthless. Man, he just cussed. Did you hear that word come out of his mouth? And Jesus runs right in between Jamie and says,
amen.
I got it covered. Lord looks and says, I don't see anything but my son.
That's right.
Wasn't enough that he died for us, but he lives for us.
Amen.
You know what? If he's that good a friend to me, maybe I could try living for him just a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
If he loves me that much, I never repay. Some people think they can work their way to get to heaven. They can ride a bicycle so many miles or years, or they can sell enough Watchtower magazines, or they can pray on a prayer rug toward Mecca every day, and they think that the things that they can do might earn them a spot in glory. No, I realize there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to repay what he's done for me, but I can accept what he's done, and I can love him back a little bit. What about you? But I love him this morning. His friendship is seen in his sacrifice. It's seen in his sharing. He shares his love with us. He shares his life with us. And all through the Bible, he shares his lessons with us.
Amen.
He didn't just give me life. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But Brother Freddie didn't just give me life. He taught me how to live.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? We celebrated Valentine's on Friday night. My wife and I went out to eat, and and we made goo-goo eyes at each other like we did when we was kids and held hands, and I told her how much I loved her. You know, I was thinking about before I met Jesus, I didn't even know how to love her. I didn't know how to be a, I never had a daddy growing up. I didn't know how to be a daddy. I remember when my baby was born, me and my mother was in the elevator at Cobb General Hospital. I broke down crying in that elevator, and I said, "Mama, I don't know what to do. I ain't got a clue how to be a daddy. I had a great example for a mother, but I don't know how to be a daddy. The Lord has taught me everything I know about living." That's something this world needs to know today. They don't know how to live. This world has forgotten how to live. They think life is a game you play on a phone. I told my grandson yesterday, I said, "Put this stupid game down." Boy, it got quiet on me there. Life's more than that. It's more than a social media. You know what that is? That's a false. It ain't even real.
Amen.
But Jesus is real.
Amen.
And he don't want us just to have life. He wants us to live.
Amen. Right.
He wants us to know some joy and some happiness. He wants us to be able to shout and praise him every now and then. He wants us to be able to shed tears of joy. Somebody said, "You're just a crybaby." No, I'm just full, and I realize how good God's been to me.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, I get a case of the can't help it every now and then.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you, it wouldn't hurt once in a blue moon.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. He not only wants me to live, to have life, but he wants me to live. He shares his lessons with us. Did you know you can learn how to be a good husband right here in this book?
Amen, preacher.
Old Brother Jerry taught us a good lesson last night. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
If you was at the Valentine's banquet, he talked about Jonathan and David and their souls being knit together. And he talked about knitting and how our friendship ought to be with our spouse. Well, that was good stuff, man. That was good stuff. Do you know before you get a marriage license now, before you get a marriage license, they charge you more if you hadn't had premarital counseling. Premarital counseling. The license costs like $65 more or something. Premarital counseling. Who can tell you how to be married?
Yeah, come on.
This book right here.
Amen, preacher.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Hey, man, it's all in here.
Yes, sir.
It'll teach you how to raise your children.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it flies in the face of political correctness. Amen. It tells you to whoop them youngins.
Amen.
Amen. Well, whoop, that's in my version. Amen. It sure does. Got quiet on me there too. Just don't do it at Walmart. They'll put you in jail. He shares his love with us. He shared his life with us. He shares his lessons with us. He shows us his friendship in his sacrifice, in his sharing. Let me give you this and I'm done. We see his friendship in his salvation. In his salvation, we see just what a friend Jesus is. Listen, here's what he said. He said, "I have chosen you. I have chosen you." I remember when we were growing up in school, New Georgia Elementary right down here, every day we'd have recess. Me and my buddies, we did the same thing every day, whether it was sunshine, cold, it didn't matter. We played baseball every single day. And it'd always be two guys that were picked to be captains. You know what the job of those captains were? To choose teams. There would always be the fat kid that couldn't run, that couldn't hit. And he's always jumping up now, "Pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me." And you'd go, you'd pick around him. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
There was a boy who went to our school. He's down here in Carrollton in the nursing home now. He's my friend. His name's David Siviter. Brother Johnny, you remember David? He was our, forgot what you called him on the football team. Not a mascot. He was our, what'd they call him? No, he wasn't a water boy. I forgot. Manager, that's what he was. He's down here in the nursing home. He has cerebral palsy. He introduced me to a lady there in the nursing home. I walked up and he turned around and looked at that little lady sitting beside him. He said, "Ma'am, this is the great Eddie White." That's what he said. I said, "Yep, that's me." I believe every word he says. He said, "When we was kids in school, he always picked me to be on his team. And if anybody messed with me, he'd beat them up." I'm glad Jesus. Looked down here and saw a little old cripple one day. Said, "I'll pick you." I didn't choose him. He chose me. If you're here this morning, you're saved. He chose you too. We say, how do you know if you've been chosen? That's the good part. He chose us all. He said he was not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He's already chosen you. All you've got to do is accept him. The greatest friend a sinner ever had. We see his friendship in his sacrifice, in his sharing, and in his salvation. We're chosen by him. We're called by him. We're comforted by him. Everything we need, we find in him. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Miss Janice, if you would you come? And get us a song this morning. Sister Janice is going to sing the invitation. Before she does, I wonder if we could just bow our heads this morning. Maybe it's been a while since some of you realized how much he loves you. In spite of who you are and in spite of what you are. Maybe it's been a while since you got on the altar and just said, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for being my friend. I sure don't deserve you, but I sure do appreciate it." Maybe there's somebody here this morning you've yet to accept him as your friend. And you need to get that thing settled in your heart today about where you're going to spend eternity. Listen, I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I'd sure like to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Say, "Brother Eddie, remember me. I need to get this settled in my heart. I need to know. I need to know. I need to get this thing nailed down once and for all. Just remember me when you pray." Anybody? How about this, preacher? I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind. But I seemingly have forgotten what a friend he is to me. Just pray for me. I'd be a better friend to him. How about that? Hold on to be every hand in his room, mine included. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, God, we sure thank you for a beautiful day outside. Thank you for the sunshine. Lord, thank you for our people that are gathered here in this room this morning. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Just pray you'd have your way in this altar call. God, I pray you'd help us all to be a better friend to you. Because Lord, you couldn't, there's nothing you could do to be a better friend to us. Lord, you've proven yourself time and time and time again. Lord, it seems that the best we can do is prove ourselves to be failures time and time again. But you just keep loving us. Lord, for that I praise you and thank you this morning. Lord, please have your way this altar call. Don't let anybody leave today without knowing you as their Savior. Lord, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all you do.
upwards. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.